Claire, and you're listening to the Mother Love Podcast, a show where we talk about the journey of parenting. This is a space where guests open their hearts, gather their courage, and tell the truth about what it means to care for these messy and delightful little ones in today's big, wide, and often overwhelming world. We talk about the pressures, the steep learning curves, and the bittersweet reality of watching our children grow. Parenting asks us to be willing to feel it all. Celebration and grief, joy and anguish, fear and courage. So take a breath, let these stories wash over you, and show yourself a little love.
Okay, hi, Mother Love listeners. This is going to be a really fun episode because I'm here with my office mate and co-worker, Ashley Martin, and we just decided to record like a fun episode, which is sort of going to be like healthy mothers, healthy babies meet at the water cooler, air quotes, water cooler talk.
Yeah.
And we find ourselves having these conversations in the office all the time. And we're just like, we should record these because these are such common issues that moms and parents encounter on a day-to-day basis, sometimes minute-to-minute basis, that I feel like would be not only like funny to hear about, but also kind of comforting in that way of just like, okay, I'm not totally insane or out of control or even a bad mom. Sometimes we come to the office crying because we've had a rough morning. So we just thought it'd be fun to sit down and just record one of our conversations. So that's what we're doing. Ashley, hi.
Totally. Hi. Yay. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. This is fun. Like every time I come into the office, because I'm mostly stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. I look forward to having these conversations because I know we're in the same boat.
Yes.
And I always feel much better. Mm-hmm. So we are all doing the same things.
Yeah. In fact, we've said before, like, I'll be like in the throes of a really hard moment as a mom. Like, you know, last week, for example, I think it was, I dropped my kids off at school. It was a really not good morning. Like I like messed up as a mom in terms of getting overly frustrated, impatient, whatever, with getting my kids to school on time, which somehow I feel like a SWAT team is going to come and arrest me if I like don't get them there at 8:28, you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, then they all take on that stress. It was really messy. And I was like crying in my car. Like I do. I'm often like, how many other parents at Central see me just weeping in my car, like with my head down on the steering wheel? But I thought to myself, oh, well, I'll be in the office in a little bit. And I bet that I can like share this with my coworkers and they'll remind me that like, we all mess up sometimes and there will be grace there and compassion and empathy. And that actually helps me like in that moment, just knowing that like you guys will have my back. So it's so important to be able to have that.
I feel that. I appreciate you and Amy so much. So we're kind of the office crew, the Helena crew. And I don't get to have as many adult conversations anymore. And I always look forward to them. And then probably take up too much of your time telling all the crazy stories, but it's so true. It's like, it feels so good to feel like seen and know that I'm not in it alone and we're doing this together and we're all doing our best and we make mistakes and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so maybe before we go further, cause this is just going to go, you can tell listeners like what your role is at HMHB and a little bit about your family, the ages of your kids, because these are all of course things that I know and I'm very familiar with, but other people might not. And a little bit about your background with work. You grew up in Helena, stuff like that.
Okay.
Give us a little Ashley nutshell version.
A little rundown. Okay, so my current position at HMHB is outreach coordinator, and I am currently working part-time 2 days a week. So I am a mostly stay-at-home mom for the past year, which has been a big adjustment, but like something that I will forever be grateful for.
Yeah.
And I love so much. There are really good days, really magic moments, and really hard days. And so it's definitely been a balancing act and figuring out what works for us. But I really do love it. And I also love my work here. And so actually making that decision back last year in November was really, really tough. But I'm so grateful that I've been able to just work part-time and keep my position here and do all of the things that I love. This work is so important and I'm so passionate about it. And so, yeah, having that flexibility has been so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are, Sadie just turned 4. She's our daughter. And then Chase is 15 months now. So he is up and running and getting into everything mm-hmm. and standing on the tables and climbing on the counters and all the things. So yeah, it's wild and crazy at our house, but it's a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're our outreach coordinator. So you do a lot of communicating with partners. And, you know, right now you've been planning our conference, which has been a ton of work. And mm-hmm. you're so good at just connecting with people in a friendly, but also like really effective and efficient way. And
thank you.
It's interesting thinking back to I came back to HMHB when you were pretty pregnant.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's when I met you.
Yeah.
And it would just, we can just start talking maybe a little bit about this because I do think it's important to reflect on. Like, I remember we didn't even know each other that well, but we kind of also were just like, boom, Insta friends.
Yeah. We're not small talk people.
No, we're not small talk people. I feel like none of us really are at the office. So it's always like, hi, good morning, deep dive.
Yeah.
But it was not an easy decision for you. You know, you were pregnant. You had what many of us had, which was this idea and vision of how things would go once Chase was born. Like, you weren't planning on cutting back on your hours as much as you did. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things where when you have a baby, first of all, whoa, big collision of fantasy versus reality. But when mm-hmm. you go from 1 to 2, it's also like you kind of have a sense of how it will go. And then it usually doesn't go that way. Mm-hmm. And so I just remember there were a lot of different factors that you really wrestled with and ultimately came to the decision of like, this is what's best for me and my health, and this is what's best for my family.
Yeah.
And so maybe you can just talk a little bit about what that was like for you. You had to figure out what you were going to do for childcare for Sadie. Things weren't working well. Like, there were just so many things that you were holding all at once, mm-hmm. including like being pregnant / very new mom of a very small infant.
Yeah. Gosh, that's bringing back so many memories. I haven't really thought about it in a while, but that was a bit of a rough patch. We just had so much going on at that point. And if I even go back a little bit, quite a bit further, I remember when they had Sadie and I would have given anything to stay home with her. Going back to work, I wasn't happy in my work, mm-hmm. but it was just so hard. I mean, every day that I would leave, I would just cry. And every time I would go to this little closet room that I would pump in, I would look at pictures of her and I would cry. And every time someone asked how she was, mm-hmm. I would start crying again all day long.
And you weren't in this office anymore where like we would just start crying with you.
Yeah. No, it was not the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of dudes I work with. And so it was not the same atmosphere whatsoever.
Yeah. Sometimes dudes don't know what to do and we just start like crying slowly, on the spot.
They would just slowly back away
when they just say like, how are you? And you're like, I'm not okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, there were not a lot of hugs, not mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So I was really grateful that my sister at the time, she was kind of looking for a new adventure. And so she moved to Spokane and lived with us. And she would watch Sadie during mm-hmm. the day, which was so wonderful. But it was still really hard.
Yeah.
And then we got settled. And then, of course, Sadie was born in September of 2019. And then COVID happened in March. And so we had been floating around the idea of moving back to Jake's hometown or here, my hometown, for a long time. Mm-hmm. But it was always just kind of this thing that was just floating around. It was never really concrete. We didn't talk about it very much. But after Sadie and then COVID hit and we were like, okay, like it feels like we need a little bit of help. Like, I'm not sure. It was just didn't feel like our days felt kind of numbered in Spokane. It didn't really feel like home anymore.
Yeah.
And we had loved living there for a long time. And all of most of our best friends from school are there. So it was a really hard decision, but we decided to move when I was pregnant with Chase, which was May mm-hmm. of last year mm-hmm. now. Gosh, it's all blurring together. Mm-hmm. But so we started looking for jobs, I think, in January of that year. And I applied for this position and interviewed, and I got the job right away. And to me, it just felt so reaffirming. Mm-hmm. Like, this was something I wanted to do so badly. I immediately, like, in the interview, we all teared up a little bit. Like, our team is just like the most wonderful group of women you could ever imagine, supportive. And so yeah, it just was like, oh my gosh, it felt so wonderful. And so we decided to move, and we came in May, I think, and we didn't find a house right away. Mm-hmm. And actually it took a whole nother year to find a place, but we lived with my grandparents for about a month. And so we started looking for childcare for Sadie. And anyone that has been looking for childcare in recent years knows the struggle of that, like the wait lists and the tours, and you never know if you're going to get a spot. And, you know, at one point we were being asked to pay to have a spot on the wait list. And just all
That's
of these,
so
like,
crazy.
It just felt wild. Mm-hmm. And looking for a house was the same thing,
yeah,
sort of. And so,
totally.
You know, it was like you'd have to run as soon as your realtor called. And it just all felt a little chaotic. And yeah, I was 7 months pregnant. Sadie was two. Mm-hmm. She was only two. Yeah, it was a lot. And she had been home with my sister, and they just had such a like nice daily rhythm that wasn't rushed. She got to do things at her own pace. She had all this like unstructured time. And my sister is a former preschool teacher, and so she had all these like wonderful games and songs that they would play and sing all day long. Like she just had a blast. And so trying to put her into full-time childcare was really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And we loved the school that we found. We loved the teachers. Like it was everything I actually had envisioned for her. It was a little Montessori program, and they were wonderful. But I think for her, it was too much, too soon, mm-hmm. like too fast. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of transition. We had moved. She was expecting a baby brother, like all these things. And so, yeah, then Chase came along, and Sadie, it had gotten actually really bad. She was having night terrors that were very, very scary.
Yeah.
She wasn't sleeping. She just sort of, we would pick her up and she was kind of a zombie version of herself. Yeah. Like she just was so tired and out of it. And so that was happening. And, you know, we're looking at our budget and thinking about the cost of childcare, if we could even find then a spot for him too,
totally.
Which was going to be another place. Mm-hmm. And the math just wasn't adding up. Yeah. And we just knew, like, I just knew in my heart, it wasn't what was right for Sadie at that time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I made the really, really tough choice, where before that would have been an easy choice. Mm-hmm. But I love our organization and our team and
right.
this work. And so it was really, really hard, and it still is sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that you did what most of us do as parents when we're going through like trying to find childcare, which is that like you got into a place, it was everything you had hoped for.
Yeah.
You know, and you would come in and we would talk and you would say like, maybe it's just like, we'll just give it a little more time. Maybe she'll get used to it. Maybe it's just hard because right now, because you're hearing that from a ton of parents, right? And from usually from the teachers, they're like, oh, this happens to all kids, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you have to get that to that point where you're like, you know what you know from your mom intuition. Mm-hmm. And then you have all of these other people weighing in with what they know as people who work in this field, people who are more experienced parents, whatever, you know, and so you have to like balance those out. And at some point you just were like, nope, I know what I know. And I know Sadie's not okay. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel not okay. And like, I'm not willing to keep going down this road because I can't, like, we can't anymore.
Oh,
you know?
God. Yeah.
And it was hard for you.
Yeah. I mean, every day I would come in and we would talk about like the drop-offs, and Sadie, she was just so sad.
Yeah.
And I know that that is the case for a lot of moms, and, you know, like feeling like you have to leave your kiddo and they're upset. And sometimes that separation anxiety does go away, mm-hmm. and that's just part of a new transition, a new school, whatever. But I know that you also experience that, and it is the most heartbreaking feeling,
it
like
really
driving away is. When your kiddo is crying for you and wanting like one more hug or whatever.
Yep.
It was awful.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
And being told like, you just have to go. Like,
yeah.
This, it'll be easier on them if you just walk out the door. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to be like, you. Like, I remember just being like, don't say that to me, you know? And mm-hmm. I'm sure that that works for some kids' personalities and like it's all different. But I did go through that with Kendall, and those memories are really, really vivid because it's like part of how we're wired as parents and our kids are wired is to be in tune with each other's emotions, right? So those, when you see your child suffering, no matter what it is, but especially when it has to do with you leaving them, mm-hmm. like you, it's like her facial expression is like burned into my brain.
Oh, yeah.
Like I remember everything about the room. I remember everything about how it felt closing that door behind me, hearing her still crying. Like it just was so hard and so painful. And it was really, really hard to reconcile that in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this worth it? Like, mm-hmm. is it really? And then everyone was telling me like, it's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for them to be away from you. It's good for them for the, and I'm sure that part of that is true, but like,
yeah,
man, it's rough.
Oh, it, yeah,
I left crying every day. It was the same with Kai in kindergarten. Like, mm-hmm. it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness that there were a couple of like instrumental people who became like each of their primary attachment people during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if these two souls like hadn't existed at both of their schools, like I don't know what would have happened.
Yeah.
Because like it was a safe person to pass them each over to who I knew eventually really would calm them and like in a way that they both needed, which was not just like, okay, moving on to morning circle or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I don't know. It is really hard. And although this is a light episode, like it's not, it's, we had no plan. It's just like,
no, I mean, just nothing.
These are the conversations. Yeah.
Yeah. So much in parenting is, it's all like bittersweet.
Yeah.
It's all like beautiful and really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's hard. It's hard to talk about anything in
right.
motherhood and parenting and not laugh and cry
right.
at the same time sometimes.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just always weighing that out. Like, okay, this is hard, but is it too hard?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like actually doing harm
mm-hmm.
to my kiddo and our relationship? Or is it good for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's, I still struggle with that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like letting kids feel how they feel. And now that they're older, it's like a little bit different, right? But like, at what point do I step in and say like, hey, like I'm here. And at what point do I let them feel and get through their emotions without trying to swoop in and rescue them?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's my number one struggle as a mom is like not being able to tolerate my kids being really sad or really angry or whatever.
Yeah.
And just like, okay, how do I like let them get through their own stuff, but also tell them like, hey, I'm here, especially when they're mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So I just remember that being a really hard decision, but really having so much respect for you and for Jake, for your family to just say like, okay, we know what we got to do and we're going to do it. We're going to make it work,
mm-hmm.
you know? And things I think have kind of settled down. You guys have had to move twice still.
Yeah.
But you now found your home.
Yeah. We feel so settled. We found a house in May of this year and moved in, and our neighborhood is wonderful. It's so, it feels so safe and a place where like everybody waves to you and says, hi, how are you? And so Sadie will just, I mean, all summer long, all day long, we spent riding her bike around the neighborhood and hiking and doing all the fun things. And so, yeah, I feel like we're all in a really good place. The kids are doing well. Like Jake is doing well. I feel good in my schedule and I just feel really settled and feel really grateful for that. Cause last year, the year before was a lot.
It was a lot.
It was like, in a couple of months.
And I remember just saying to you, like, the reason that you are falling apart every day is because like, this is way too much for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the changes you guys are going through and all the ways that that is like coming out in everyone is just like, it just was so much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, it was a crazy couple of months. But
Thankfully
that's, and now Chase is like, for me, I remember really distinctly too, when Sadie turned one, it's almost like this like fog cleared for me of just like, I mean, she was never a great sleeper. And so that we were always exhausted. Chase thankfully is a really good sleeper. And so that wasn't quite the case, but it's like, for me, it took like a whole year to sort of be like, okay, like this is the new normal. Like this is what our family looks yes. like. This is like our daily rhythm. This is how things happen and get done. And like, so now it just feels, it does feel more like light mm-hmm. and fun. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's just been really good.
Yeah. I think that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
That first year is crazy.
Yeah.
In even the best of circumstances, I feel like it is just such a drastic, huge life change, no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the things.
Yeah. So you've got your routine down, you're feeling pretty settled. And then like, you know, it is October, what, 25th we're recording this? 26th. 26th, I think.
I don't know. I think it's Thursday.
It's Thursday, 2023. We got that yeah. done. But
Halloween is coming up.
Halloween's coming up. But let's talk about like when you finally have a routine down, you know, we're back to school for me. We're doing our thing. We're involved mm-hmm. in a lot of extracurricular. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. And then just like all of a sudden, like I was like, oh, I should probably mow my lawn one more time this past weekend. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden we wake up and there's like feet of snow in Helena.
Yeah.
Which I'm sorry if this like has nothing to do with where you live and you're tuning in, but like, let's just talk about what that looks like logistically when we get that much snow over that amount of time.
Because and it was 70 degrees like last Friday. I
yes.
think we were downtown at a yeah. little balloon festival.
I had a tank and, top
like,
on.
In, yes. Yeah. Yes. Kids mm-hmm. were in shorts.
Yeah. I was even kind of appalled by that. Like, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, this shouldn't happen either.
No, that was almost too good to be
yeah.
true.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But so then, you know, I was telling Ashley, like, before we were recording that anyone who knows me knows I'm not, like, the most on top of, like, checking weather or, like, news. Like, these kinds of things are sometimes my world is pretty small and I can only take care of, like, what's right
They're
in front
the
of
peripheral.
Me. They are.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no big deal.
Yeah.
Usually someone alerts me if there's something totally crazy going on, which people did. My mom said, Claire, we're getting snow next week. A few people did. But I thought like typical October snow where it's just like a little skiff and you like go out with a broom.
Yeah.
It melts by 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Like no big deal.
Still wearing your Birks. It's fine.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like you just walk more carefully.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not what happened.
Yeah.
So what's really funny is like I knew the snow was coming. So in my version of preparedness, I take my kids shopping for some extra long sleeve shirts and pants. Somehow Kai ended up with one pair of pants.
Oh.
And I don't know how that happened, but like I do laundry every night because we just have the one pair of pants and it's not summer anymore. So, you know, like all of a sudden this happens and I'm like feeling like patting myself on the back, like, okay, we're set. Like,
yeah.
And then we wake up the next morning and there's so much snow that I'm like, oh, like we need boots, hats, mittens, snow pants, coats, like right now, like school starts in 40 minutes type deal. So I'm like running, like ravaging, like going through everything in the garage, finding the tub, the bin that has all the winter stuff from last year.
Oh yeah.
Feeling somewhat grateful.
Praying it fits.
Right. Feeling yeah. somewhat grateful to like past version of myself who did like organize things
oh,
enough
yeah. Yeah.
to like have a bin.
That you could find it.
Right.
That's half the battle.
It was not an easy battle even finding it, but whatever, we did.
Yeah.
Somehow I always know where like the Halloween decorations are, but like things that are really important, like snow pants. Anyways, so.
Well, they're not as exciting. They get pushed to the back.
So somehow, miraculously, everybody gets clothed and we make it to school. But even the drive to school is like a whole new adventure, right? And mm-hmm. so anyways, I just think it's funny to talk about this because this happens to me all the time. I've grown up in Montana. My entire life, pretty much, I've lived here, and I know that this can happen, and I should have, like, a safety plan, like, as if the house were to catch on fire, like, how do we get out type deal.
Yeah.
But I don't, and so it was total chaos in our house, and then, you know, some other stuff on top of that. Suddenly, there's a Halloween party at theater school after school that, like,
oh,
Kai's,
gosh.
Like, hot gluing a, like, mask to a sheet to be a ghost and then needs me to cut holes in the sides to fit sunglasses through because that's part of the ghost costume, apparently.
Oh.
So all these things are happening,
cool
like, simultaneously. I'm packing lunches. It was just, like, complete mayhem.
Yeah.
And, like, I dropped him off at school, and I was like, wow. And I didn't freak out. I just calmly, our house was, like, it looked like a bomb went off, but I had to just like seal the door shut behind me and be like, we'll deal with that later. Very sincere apology to my dog who was like, really, you know.
Yeah. Don't look back.
don't.
Just you keep just going.
Go. And we were the car driving. Soon I'll be done. But we're the car driving where, like, the windshield is cleared off. But there's, like, a tall stack of snow still on the top of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Sidewalk is not even shoveled at all.
Continuously falling back down on your windshield.
Totally. And the kids are like, Mom, can you see? I can't see. I'm like, I'm taller than you. It's fine. And, like, we make it. But these are the things.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Seasonal changes in Montana, if you're not ready, are no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were sort of in the same boat, though. Thankfully, we didn't actually have to go anywhere. Mm. I guess that's like the beauty of not being in school yet, right? Is like, if we have plans, there are probably things we can cancel. If there's 18 inches of snow on the ground and we don't have snow boots, which we didn't for Chase, but Sadie, of course, insisted we wanted to be really excited, right? And so, you know, like, celebrate the first snow. So I got the kids all dressed up. Thankfully, I had gotten their coats and stuff out and put them in the closet. But Chase has, like, nothing.
Yeah.
And so we just, like, layered up his socks, wrapped some Ziploc bags around the socks.
Yes.
Tied them up. And then we just set them out in the snow. And they had fun. We just pulled them around on the sled.
Oh, just Ziplocs. Not, like, in boots or anything. Just Ziplocs. That's amazing.
He didn't have boots.
No boots. Just lots of socks. Chase.
Just lots of socks and Ziplocs.
Plastic over them. That's amazing.
It was a real, like, 80s mom move. I actually felt really, like, innovative. I was like, yes.
You're like, I know what to do.
I solved the problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. That was pretty fun. Thankfully, we didn't have to rush off to school. So it was a little less stressful for us. But Jake was also shoveling the 18 feet of snow, trying to get to work on time. Yes. And that didn't go as well for him. Yeah. So,
Yes, because he actually does have to be somewhere.
He does have to be somewhere.
Yeah.
We just came back in and had coffee and, played games. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And Kendall hates wearing snow pants, hates the first snow. Like, that was another factor where, like, she's just like, I'm not wearing snow pants. Nobody's going to be wearing snow pants. And I'm like, everyone's going to be wearing snow pants. Like, don't be the kid. Don't be the kid who goes without snow pants. And they're like, what's the matter with your mother? You know, like, so there's that element too. I think she's feeling better now that she's got to play in it a little bit. And
It's a lot of work to get dressed up to go out in the snow.
I know.
And I'm the same way too. Like, I'm from here. You'd think we'd be used to it at some point, but
it's a shocker every year.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I, for the first time, I will say I've always been kind of like a Scrooge. Like, I obviously, everybody loves Christmas as a kid, but then, you know, it kind of, like, wears off a little bit, and, like, seasonal depression is a real thing. Yes. Like, it just can feel like too cooped up for too long. But this year, that the kids are, like, a little bit older, like, Sadie's already excited about Christmas.
Yeah.
And, like, just the joy, like, when they looked out and they saw the first snow, it really is contagious. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, we don't have to do the things yet. And so we can kind of just, like, sit back and enjoy it a little bit. And so it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I know the excitement of the first snow is going to wear off really quickly. I mean, as soon as I had to get in my car and drive to work today, I was like, oh boy.
here we go. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah. Okay. Well, we'll shift gears because the fun of this is we just get to bounce around. But I was sort of thinking about things that we thought would be, you know, relatable to talk about. And one of them is just the amount of time that goes into grocery shopping, meal planning, meal cooking, begging your kids to eat said meal, putting away leftovers, hoping to God someone will actually eat the leftovers, and then cleaning everything up. And by the time you do that, it's time to, like, start on the next meal. So we were talking about this, I think, 2 days ago in the office, and you especially have been going through it because your kids are on varied diets. You've been a vegetarian for the past 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, probably even, like, off and on, but mostly on since I was 15. So, like, a large majority of my life,
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so you lately have been like, what am I going to do? I actually am not a full-time chef. Like, so that doesn't really pan out. Maybe if I were and I had zero other responsibilities, this would be fun.
Yeah.
But you've had to kind of compromise and sacrifice. So let's talk about that. What does that look like currently in your home?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, I am so grateful because typically Jake is a really good cook and he loves to cook. And so that has, for like the duration of our relationship, that has kind of been his thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now he sometimes gets home too late to really do it. And also I'm like, we're home and Sadie likes cooking. And so it's something I've been like sort of pushing myself to try new recipes and try to get better at. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to be a good cook and for us to cook together and yeah. enjoy it. And like, you know, like listen to music and all the things and sort of make it like a fun thing in our house. And, so we're trying that. And, but yeah, I've been a vegetarian and for so long, and Chase can't eat dairy or gluten. And also he just, you know, like you can't have a lot of things as a baby, like everything has to be tiny and right. whatever. And so, and thankfully Sadie is not a super picky eater, but she's also 4 years old. So there are things that she won't eat. So it ends up feeling like, man, like you said, the planning, the cooking, the cleaning, all of it, it like, it takes up like 98% of our day.
Yeah.
And like, some days I'm like, have I left the kitchen?
Yes.
It is so weird. I don't know. It's like you enter like some like time warp
yeah.
when I start cooking, but like that I never actually escape out of it until like the kids are in bed.
And then the rewards are so small.
Yeah.
Like if no one
then
eats,
I still have dishes to yeah. do normally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's a lot. And like this isn't like a complaining session, but it is like a, like, let's be real. Like I take sometimes a deep breath. Like, first of all, I'm like, okay, dinner's on the table. Everyone, mm-hmm. please come eat dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, that can go well sometimes, not well sometimes, you know, it's just the three of us. And so, so I'll say, like yesterday, last night I said, you know, like, I don't tell you guys this, but like, because I need you to tell me thank you or something. But if someone does cook you a meal, who isn't me, for example,
mm-hmm.
and they set it all up and you come to the table, like, it is lovely to say thank you thanks for cooking this dinner. Like, I'm not like fishing for compliments, but
yeah.
like, I also do want them to acknowledge when people do things for them so that they don't grow up just feeling like really entitled. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's like kind of an interesting part of being like a single co-parent life is like, mm-hmm. I don't want to say that because it seems kind of like self-centered or something, but I'm also like, there's no dad in the room to be like, oh, and remember to tell your mom thanks for making dinner.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one else there to remind them. So that's like, mm-hmm. an interesting part of it. But like, we get done with dinner, you know, people help put their dishes in the dishwasher or whatever, kind of, but they do it so bad that I just have to do it over again. Even
to the best of their ability.
I mean, I'm like, how? But we go over it time and time again. Maybe someday it'll stick.
Mm-hmm.
But then I sort of take a deep breath and go like, okay, it's time to do the dishes again, you know? And then you like, you do the dishes, get interrupted 17 times, keep doing them, finally get done. And then it's like time to pack lunches for the next day. And all of my friends will say, Claire, like, your kids can pack their own lunches. They're old enough to do it. Like, teach them how to do it. And I should. I really should. But sometimes I just don't feel like going over and over the same thing. And they probably know this. And I know I'm getting played. But it's like, mm-hmm. a lot of times I don't have the energy to like walk everyone through it and do all the things. And so I just end up doing it myself.
You just want to get it done.
This is also how my mom worked when I was a kid. And so it's one of those things where I just have trouble like scrounging up the energy and wherewithal to know how to like teach them well.
And the patience.
And the patience.
I mean, it takes a lot of patience and you have to like, I will say I'm really grateful because Sadie is pretty good about, she really likes to help,
mm-hmm.
and she really does a pretty good job. So like if she like spills, she'll go grab a rag and mm-hmm. like wipe it up. And she really loves cooking and she likes to set the table and like all the things, but you do have to really lower your expectations to like match their skill level.
Yes.
And I try not to, if she does something, to correct it.
Yeah.
Because I like that she has that initiative and she wants to help and be like a contributing member of the family. Like, it's so sweet. And, so I try really hard to do that. And thankfully she kind of does that on her own, mm-hmm. like takes things and runs with it. Mm-hmm. It also gets, that same thing gets me into trouble sometimes, because I think I was telling you about the time she was making us a really special drink.
Yeah.
And she was just, it was making such a mess, and she, like, so much food was being wasted. Yes. And it just looked not appetizing.
Remind me what was on the menu for smoothies or special drinks that night.
Yeah, it was like some kind of smoothie she was making, but it turned into like water and milk and Cheerios.
Oh, Cheerios.
Mixed with, yeah. Like there,
yeah.
There was some whole like grain semblance in there. Of like of smoothie situation happening, yeah. But it was getting really mushy and very weird looking.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was like waiting for her. She was making these special drinks for us to have with our dinner. Oh. And I was waiting for her. I'm like, bud, come on, like, it's time to eat. Mm-hmm. I love that you were wanting to make us these drinks. They look really yummy. But then she's like spilling it all over the counter and the floor. And at some point I just like lost it. I was like, Sadie, come sit down and eat right now.
Yeah.
And she, like, the look in her eye, I really hurt her feelings, and she got so upset. And that was one of the times where, like, Jake was like, babe, come on, man. Like, she was...
I remember you saying when we were talking about this in the office, because this was the same day I was weeping on the steering wheel. We were sharing all these things. And I remember you going, even Jake was like, babe. We were all laughing because, like, oh, man, even Jake? Like, but I know those moments.
Oh, and it really broke my heart. Yeah. And I feel like I try to be really good at repair and trying to fix things. And I apologize to her all the time. And just acknowledging, like, I make mistakes. I'm trying my best. I shouldn't have yelled at you. You didn't do anything wrong, kind of thing. But that one really stung.
Yeah.
Like, because she was trying to do something sort of above and beyond and special. And so I actually thankfully got a redo, because, like you suggested, you were like, you should invite her to do it again. Mm-hmm. And drink the drink.
I don't know if I said that.
Okay, well, I thought I had to really make it up, and enjoy the drink. And so she did that the other night. And so I think I repaired that one to a place where it's not scarred in her brain.
Right.
But yeah, that was tough.
Yeah. And we were just talking about, like, no shade on our parents, because that wasn't a common... Repair was not seen as like a good parenting move when I was growing up. It was seen as like showing weakness and undermining your authority as a parent. And if you like apologize to your kids when you mess up, then they're going to somehow think, I don't know what, but like, you'll lose your ability to be the person in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what my parents thought. And that's kind of what they had available for information at that time.
That's what it
definitely
feels like
it's
to
what
me
they
too.
Were modeled. Their parents modeled. To
yeah.
Them.
Oh yeah.
I mean, in more harsh ways even, you know, so it was like that. This is one of those things that we are kind of like in a new way. We are learning how to do that with our children and be willing to show them our flaws and our imperfections. And number one, right, is to tell them, like, I'm doing the best I can and mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like, they need to know that we're trying. I remember that was one of the most important things I learned when I took that Circle of Security parenting class was they don't need to know that you're a perfect parent, but they do need to know that you're sincerely trying to mm-hmm. do your best, mm-hmm. you know, and that's modeling that for them, like that they don't have to be perfect kids either, but they do have to try to do their best.
Totally.
And say sorry when they hurt someone. And so it's that whole thing. And like, there is opportunity for repair, but sometimes it does just feel like it's almost like I hold on to those moments probably more than my kids do, mm-hmm. because you just are like, oh man, really? Like, that's not the mom I want to be. That's mm-hmm. not the person I want to be. Like, I would never even do that. I wouldn't do that to a friend.
No.
I mean, you know, so mm-hmm. it is really hard. And I can imagine the equation and list of things that was circling around in your mental load brain as a mom, which was like, now I have more of a mess to clean up. Now there's wasted food. Now mm-hmm. our dinner is getting cold. Like, and all those things are understandable too. And sometimes mm-hmm. you do just kind of lose it because all those different like factors and thoughts are like pinging you at the same time. And it's hard to stay calm when all that's going around and around in your mind.
Yeah. And so much of that too is sort of happening like unconsciously. Like I didn't even realize like,
yeah,
when I get to that point and I snap at them, I'm like, man, like I was like at the end of my rope. Yeah. Like, and then I think back to like maybe all of the things that have gone on during the day, or I missed out, I didn't sleep good or whatever. I'm not taking care of myself, like then it's really easy to sort of lose your patience and yell and all the things. And it's just the worst feeling because you're right. It's like, that is not the person or the mom I want to be. And yeah, of all the like parenting kind of advice, I'm always, you know, listening to podcasts mm-hmm. and books. And of all the things, I think the one piece of advice that has really stuck with me is like how you talk to kids becomes their inner voice.
Yeah.
And I really love that because it also is putting it, like I'm putting it on myself to be more compassionate, like have more self-compassion too.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not a perfect mom. Nobody is. We're all doing our best. Like I make mistakes and I want Sadie to know that for those mm-hmm. same reasons. It's like, we're not perfect mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I hope that she does. That's how she talks to herself is yeah. like, that's okay. I made a mistake and yeah. it's okay. I can fix it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And thinking about like when we think about all those different things that are happening for us and how, like you said, like you don't know that you're at the end of your rope until like you lose it and then reflect back. Mm-hmm. And that's also what we're supposed to do for our kids, right? Is like when they're throwing a tantrum or when they're like having some kind of behavior that's just like outrageously unreasonable, mm-hmm. like going and being like, oh, this is because like someone was mean to them at school or like they didn't get to do this or, you know, they got sick right before this important thing or whatever. And like, yeah. that's what we're seeing here. It's not personal,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's kind of like you have to do both. And also I've learned that if my kids see me feeling bad about a mistake I've made as a mom, then like Kendall, especially my young, like sensitive hearted little empathetic queen
yeah.
will then feel bad about me feeling bad
Aww.
About something I did to her yeah, that was not okay.
Yeah.
And then it's just all these layers. And I, you know, I have to take that into account because then I have to model for her self-compassion and forgiveness to myself for mm-hmm. the mistakes that I've made too.
Mm-hmm.
Even though like in those moments, I'm like, I don't deserve even to be a mom mm-hmm. or like to forgive myself. Like I get mean in mm-hmm. my head at those moments. And like you said, if I can like show her like, yes, I messed up. I know I messed up. I'm really sorry. I'm working on having grace for myself. And I'm asking you to like understand that that wasn't your fault. And like, help me, you know, help me become a better mom by having this honest thing. Like my kids are old enough now to where we really can have use those bigger words and have those conversations. But
yeah,
it's keeping all of that in mind and in heart in those moments is like a lot.
Yeah.
It's like really important, but it's, mm-hmm. it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love thinking of the inner voice because for better or worse, I think of my parents and the adults in my life and what they said to me. And it really did have a lot to do with how I thought of myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
No one intended to be harmful.
Oh gosh.
But
no.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's one of the really beautiful things about motherhood is that it's really, having kids brings up a lot, but it also has forced, like, I feel like at times it's like broken me,
mm-hmm.
but it's also like built me mm-hmm. up better and to be like a stronger, more compassionate, just person in general. And so I love that about being a mom, and I hope it's made me just a better like all around better person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a choice, you know, ultimately, like you have to choose and I don't always make the right choice, especially like it can take me a while to make a mistake and not launch into like comparing myself to all the other like golden parents that I know and doing all the things that I do to just like make myself feel even worse. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes I just need to be like shook out of it and be like, it's okay. Like you got to move on. Mm-hmm. Like you can't stay here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been one of my biggest challenges as a mom too, is just like not getting so down on myself that I get almost like paralyzed by it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I don't even know how to move forward. Like that's continually happens. And it's like an opportunity every time to be like, gather yourself up and keep going when you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had, Amy had this really beautiful children's book in the office the other day. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw it. I haven't got to read through it yet though.
Oh my gosh. It's so beautiful. And the illustrations are really pretty. I think it's called, I Brought You Down from the Stars or something similar.
Like that,
maybe we can add it.
Yeah.
When I know the real title, but it talks about how the belief of like children pick us as their parents. And I'd never thought of that before. And it made me tear up. Like it's the most beautiful idea. And like that we are the right parents for our kids. And so we're all on our own unique path and we're all doing our best. And truly like that mom intuition, we know what we're doing and it's okay to trust that.
Yeah.
And so like we can take the parenting advice or leave it because we know what's best for our kids, and that they picked us is just this like really beautiful thing to me.
Yeah. I was just talking to Cammie Goldhammer about that the other day and she has this beautiful story. She's going to be on the podcast, little advertisement,
cool.
And she has a really profound story about when she realized that and how much it has changed her as a mother, because it's given her the confidence she needed to be like, okay, if I truly am meant to be these people's mother and like somehow they picked me as their mom, which my mom has always said that to me too, actually,
really?
Then it makes it this like, you can have confidence that like you are capable as a mom, like it's empowering, but it also like gives your kids this confidence of like, no matter what happens, like we're in this together, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
I love that. I can't wait to hear her story.
Oh yeah.
That's cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
She's so amazing.
But. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Sadie and I are always talking about how, Jake and Sadie and Chase, we're always talking about how we're a team. And so it's kind of that same idea of like, we're in this together and good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, here we are.
I'm
here for you. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. How are your two kids getting along? Let's talk about sibling stuff.
Yeah. They are doing.
And if they get along great, then we're done and I'm not your friend anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. No, you know, there was a real rough patch. There was, I think Sadie, now they are in such a good place. And for the most part, the majority of the time, they get along really well. Sadie really loves to help, and so she'll try to like pick Chase up and then she'll drop him because, you know, he weighs almost as much as she does, like kind of thing. But she's a very much a caretaker. And so she's really into like, if I'm like changing Chase, she'll go get her doll and she'll change her doll next to us and that kind of thing. Aww. So sometimes I know there's been some really, really sweet, like magic moments that just make all of it worth it. When it's like, I'll be making coffee in the morning and it'll get kind of quiet. And then, you know, you immediately panic when you can't hear screaming. And so I'll like walk into the room and Sadie will be reading Chase a book.
Aww.
Or just these really sweet things. Like, it's fun because now that he's mobile and he's moving, they can do a lot more together and interact. And so they have a lot of fun. But I think around six, when Chase was about 6 months, which to me, it makes sense because it's like he's a newborn. He doesn't do much but eat and sleep. And so still almost all the attention was on Sadie, right? And then Chase gets to be about 6 months where he's sitting up and he's eating and he's doing all the things. And he wants to be like more a part of the fam. And so he then sort of the energy and like attention did start to shift to become like more 50-50. And she did not like that.
Yeah.
And there was a period of time where she was very mean to him, like just it felt very out of the blue to me. And I would always try to like watch for signs of when it was going to happen. And I couldn't really ever nail it down, but it was like, she would just out of the blue, just go up and kick him.
Yeah.
Punch him. Like, I was like, whoa, this is not what I expected when she's like, oh, baby brother. And then wham, you know?
Yeah.
And that lasted like a solid couple of months, and it was pretty scary for a little bit. But then at some point, it settled.
Yeah.
I'm sure we handle it a little better now. It doesn't.
Well, I was going to say, like, what were those conversations like when that would happen? Because this is one of those parts of like mom amnesia I have where I remember stuff like that going on, but I don't remember like what I said to Kyla when she would do stuff like when Kendall was a really little baby. She used to walk up and just like, I think out of curiosity, like scientific research, mm-hmm. like, can I poke this person in the eyes like I can my dolls, or can I not? Like, are these real eyes? Are they not? I'm not sure. So like, that was like a test that went on several times a day.
Oh,
and I would just have, I almost was like, maybe I should just put goggles on Kendall or something. Like it was so often. But what, you know, what did you guys talk about? Like when Sadie would do that, like, how did you talk about that with her?
It feels like there's not like a ton I can do to like correct it in the moment.
Yeah.
But like being more intentional before that something would happen, of like when Chase was napping, like I would spend like real like one-on-one time with her and make sure she felt like she, you know, we loved her and we cared about her. And, you know, it wasn't all about Chase, even though sometimes when he's screaming and he needs something in the middle of the night, it is.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and so that was kind of like my go-to. And then it would always be like, bud, it feels like you're wanting attention or you're needing something. The other thing I realized that I was doing and I stopped doing, and this probably did help, is like blaming Chase for like blaming the baby of like,
yeah,
oh, we can't go to the park because I have to do these things for Chase and he needs to take a nap. So instead I would just be like, in an hour, we'll go to the park,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think
adjustments. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, but I think that did make a difference because I realized that I was doing that a lot and that wasn't fair. And then also, I like inviting her to help me with things for Chase instead of just, which again, you have to like really like, okay, take a deep breath. Like, we're going to do this together. It's going to take 8 times as long. It's not going to get done the way I would have, but whatever it is like, you know, like folding his clothes or, putting diapers in the dresser, like all these little things. Teaching her how to change a diaper, like letting her help. We had poop smeared on the wall at one point, you know, like those kinds of things. But like it did, she loves to help. And so inviting her in instead of being like, just give me 10 minutes to deal with this on my own.
Right.
I think those like those sort of minor shifts, but actually did make a big difference.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, we're at the point where like Chase can mostly like defend himself at this point. So like if Sadie makes him mad, I don't know where he gets this either, because Sadie is not a biter. Chase will just run up, bite her in the leg, and then run away. And I don't know where he's learned it.
Yeah. The biting syndrome is a mysterious creature. Like,
yeah,
when I was I didn't have biters really, I don't think. I again blocked out a lot, but when I was teaching Montessori for a while and I was with the really little kids, we would have like a few like couple biters in the room, and it would come out of nowhere, and like, but you always knew the like particular sound of a scream of someone who's just been bit. Like, you're like, rah rah, there goes that kid again, you know. But it is, biting in particular seems very like, it's a weird sort of like primal thing that comes out in kids. And I don't know. And it's another thing that usually they're too little to like reason with.
Yeah.
So like, what, you know, well, what like, do you do in that case?
Yeah. Like, Chase, you have hurt your sister. That is not okay. We need to go give her some loves. Mm-hmm. Like, but I mean, I felt so bad because there will be times like her cheek, she will have like perfect indentations of teeth and like an immediate bruise. And it's so, I don't know where he gets it. It just blows my mind. I think you're right. It's just like a very like primal thing that's probably just really efficient.
Right.
Because
it works.
Like, yeah, because he's like trying to defend himself against somebody who's much bigger than him. So he's like, well, this gets the job done.
Yeah. Like it's quick, it's easy, it's effective.
I do this.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh. I know. That is a tough one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's end. We have just a few minutes left before we're at an hour. And so let's end with one of both of our favorite things, which is our relationship to coffee.
Oh,
let's
gosh.
Talk about how coffees are true love and what we, you know, it's such an interesting thing as, you know, now that my kids are 10 and 8 now. So like, it's not tied up with as much as when your kids are really little. And like, I mean that in the way that like when I was pregnant with Kyla, like I didn't drink coffee hardly at all. I think I developed a very fortunate aversion to coffee when I was pregnant with Kyla. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't drink it much, which my whole life I've loved coffee. It's like in my DNA, I think, to love coffee. Maybe.
Yeah.
If that's a thing.
Yeah.
I grew up like my whole family, all the moms in my coffee's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was pregnant, like that luckily went away. But then shortly after it was like, okay, now I'm breastfeeding. Kyla like never sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
So can I have coffee? Can I not have coffee? I think I was having like a little bit of decaf at that point. By the time Kendall was born, I was like, I don't know. She'll have to deal with it because there's no way I'm getting through this life without coffee.
Uh-huh.
And just throughout a lot of my life, even when things have gotten really hard and I've had to be in really difficult circumstances, like any true addict, like coffee has been my one thing that has been like regular routine. Like if everything else is totally off in crazy land, like there is at least that one hot cup of coffee in the morning and I can count on that being like a sacred time, you know? And so, but it's interesting when your kids are younger that you have to really consider them in your caffeine habit versus like later on, you know, you don't. So,
Which is so hard.
It's really hard.
Yes,
and I know we've talked about like cutting off, relapsing, detoxing, all the things. And like you have gone through what appears to me, not that I'm monitoring your, but this summer you got on a real cold brew kick.
So, oh yeah. That got,
do tell.
That got pretty intense for a little bit. Like there was just a point, cold brew, like it's like, to me feels 1,000 times stronger than regular coffee.
Is.
And so like I would drink a cold brew in the, you know, wake up and it's already like 80 degrees and I would pour myself a cold brew. And yes, in the, like making coffee in the morning, no matter what is going on, the screaming, the this, the that, like, I'm like, oh, coffee.
Yeah.
Like it's like so comforting. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, cold brew. But then I would start my day with a cold brew. It's so much stronger. It would give me like 4 hours of just like, I was like, yeah, let's go do this. Like, and it would keep me up all night. Like, you know, when summer nights go till 10
yes.
and like literally the kids won't go to bed until 9 because it's light out. And
it's
they're
a long
like,
day.
It's 80 degrees and it's light. Like, well, why in the world would we go to bed right now?
Right.
It's like, I had to have cold brew to like, to sustain like
18
hours chasing around two little kids. And then it got to the point then where like I was not sleeping. And then so then I would drink more cold brew to like overcome.
I remember you mean like,
oh,
now I'm
gosh.
Not sleeping, so now I'm more tired in the morning, so now I need more. And it's just like, what's funny, maybe not funny, is like it's the classic like developing a tolerance and having it be like disruptive to your life, but you just more, because the only thing that makes sense is to have more.
Yeah.
So it's really funny that way. But,
oh gosh.
Yeah.
And there was at some point I like crashed.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't do it anymore. And I think I was like, okay, this has gotten way out of hand. I gotta stop. And I didn't drink coffee. And then I think I slept. Thankfully, like over the weekend, Jake got up with the kids and I slept for like a million hours.
Yeah.
Cause like I just totally crashed.
Yeah.
And then I just
adrenal gland was like, I'm done.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I've had that happen. Or even worse, I've had it happen where my body suddenly starts to be like, okay, well, Claire's not paying attention, which my body for anything is always like, okay, Claire doesn't pay attention to bodily cues, signals, symptoms, anything. I've been telling her. Now I have to like scream it. And so what will happen is coffee starts to have the opposite effect, and I'll drink coffee and get tired. Like still, if I drink too much coffee in a day, like this always happens to me when I'm at conferences, because every lecture I want a hot cup of coffee in my hand, obviously, and it's just there and like available.
Yeah.
And by the end of the day, I'm exhausted and have a terrible headache because I've just been drinking coffee like all day long.
And probably no water.
No water. Yeah. I mean, I try, but why would I drink water when there's coffee?
Right. I know.
And it's always cold at conferences. Like it's always too much air conditioning in those rooms. And so I'm like, okay, well, the only way I'm going to survive is to like hold on to a hot cup of coffee. I see people like changing to tea, and I think, what a good idea.
How healthy of them. What a wonderful choice.
But yeah, so I just think it's funny that like even this morning, you know, you were running a little bit late and you're like, okay, but I have to stop and get coffee really quick. And you know that I, of all people, are going to be like, yeah, do it. Like, obviously.
Which is totally why I did it too. And I knew it was okay. Yes. Because you know.
Yeah. Because like I'm an enabler.
Else, yeah. If I was running late, I probably wouldn't have stopped to get coffee.
But like with me, you show up, I'd be like, where's your coffee? Yeah.
I just knew you'd get it. Like, you couldn't like sit down and have a mom conversation without like a warm cup of coffee. Yeah, it's just
that's
not
insane.
Right.
I know. I know. So it's really funny because I feel like we both understand this, and we both, you know, like last year for the conference, we actually sent coffee to each of the attendees because we're like, what else would they want? I think it's just funny because it's often such a common ground for moms. It's like they get it. They get that like no matter what, they still, it's like the one thing sometimes that you can hold on to is like, yes, but I will have my coffee. Like, yeah.
Yep.
So
I know. And you know how it's always like the budgeting thing of like, oh, well, a latte this every day costs you this much. And I saw this funny thing the other day that was like, okay, if you drink a coffee every day for a year, that's $2,500. Guess what? Today, $2,500 isn't getting you anywhere. So if that's what keeps you going, yeah, get it.
Yeah, I know. Well, and sometimes I'm like, how am I supposed to go and earn money if I don't bring coffee with me? Like, that's even more crazy. So, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways to justify it. But
yeah,
I am grateful for coffee. I'm grateful that we work downtown where there are several coffee options all around us. And it's just...
Great one right next door.
Yeah, like we're very fortunate.
We're really set right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, well, I don't know what else, Ashley. I just love you, friend.
And I love you too.
I respect you so much as my coworker and as a mom. And I feel like it's cool whenever we get to talk. And that's why I thought that this episode would be so helpful, because we talk and we laugh and often we cry. I think we learn from each other. And I think that that's what support is supposed to look like, is feeling safe enough to show up really real and be like, man, this morning was rough, and or this morning this funny thing happened or whatever, and get to like really talk and ask for support, but also like celebrate things that go well. And that's how we were meant to be. Like we were meant to be in connection like that. I think especially as parents and families and moms, you know, whenever we try to like isolate or do it alone, it usually does not go well. So
I agree. And I love that we can talk really authentically and honestly about those things. And I never feel like I'm a bad mom in telling you like, oh, I had an awful day yesterday. Yeah. I yelled at the kids all day long, or just whatever it is. I just appreciate that. Like, I don't feel shame in like telling you those things. Yeah. It's like, I know that you've been there and we've been there, and that's part of it. And so, I really appreciate and respect that about you too, is you're very real and you give good advice. Oh, and it's just nice to,
Yeah.
It's nice to chat about all the things.
So shout out to all you mamas and dads, if you're listening, or caregivers. Like, we see you. We know that even the like day-to-day stuff can be really grueling and magical all at the same time. And that's why we have this podcast. That's why we have even a storytelling thing program at HMHB, is because like it is so important to the health of families to be able to just share what's going on. So
totally.
So yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Mother Love is hosted by Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies, the Montana Coalition, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the health and well-being of families who are expecting or raising little ones. Opinions and views expressed in these interviews do not necessarily represent the views of HMHB as an organization. We sincerely value the lived experiences shared on Mother Love, and we understand that not everyone will agree with or relate to all of what is shared. Mother Love exists to help our guests and listeners honor and embrace their own stories and experiences. If the content in this episode has caused you concern or distress, please reach out to someone you trust for support. Speaking up about our struggles is half the battle, sometimes more than half, and there are many providers who can and want to help. Visit our statewide online resource guide at www.hmhb-lifts.org to help you find resources in your area.
Thank you to our incredible editor and producer, Brooke Boone Miller, for sharing her gifts with us. She's a mom and she gets it, and for that we are so grateful.